What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, February 23rd, 2023. Sure happy it's Thursday. It's another very, very busy news day. We've got a lot to cover before we can open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room taking care of business, and let's get right on into it. Now, yesterday, of course, Donald Trump visited East Palestine, Ohio. He met with the people. He brought them water, cleaning supplies, bought them all a bunch of McDonald's. He did this all out of his own pocket. He was not using taxpayer money, and the people there were cheering him. One of them had an FJB sign. And basically, everyone is agreeing that Biden has mishandled the situation tremendously by skipping Ohio to visit Kiev. Biden handed Trump a massive political win because he is looking really, really good, and Biden is looking really, really bad. And there's a video where the East Palestine residents were literally screaming and jumping up and down for Trump. And so Trump basically stopped his conversation and speechifying and just went on over to shake their hands. And, you know, looking at the Secret Service detail, they were obviously not worried that anybody in that crowd was going to do something. And he did very well. And yes, it was a political stunt. Let's be honest. That's what's driving this. But he played it very well. Biden just absolutely screwed the pooch on this one here. And it's amazing how hard the Democrats are still trying to dump all this on. Oh, it's those Republicans and it's Donald Trump and it's not our fault. Joy Behar actually went on the air saying East Palestine got what they deserved because they voted for Trump. I mean, talk about being totally out of touch here. All righty. Now, Pete Buttigieg finally went to East Palestine. He did not meet with the residents of the area. He basically met with the railroad people who had caused the problem. And somebody pointed out he was wearing dress shoes, indicating he had no intention of actually visiting the toxic spill site himself. And he was described as Mannequin Pete, just standing there and trying to look impressive. He had one of those reflective vests and a hard hat on, and really made kind of a joke of himself here. And as I mentioned before, Trump went over to the McDonald's and with the first responders and residents, and bought them all lunch. And again, as I mentioned, he's paying for this all out of his own pocket here. All right. Now, a lot of people are wondering why Governor Mike DeWine at least initially went along with this. Oh, it's no big deal. It's harmless and everything. But there's an investigation that revealed just weeks before this Norfolk Southern-owned train that was overloaded with hazardous materials derailed and caused a toxic chemical fire in East Palestine. The railroad donated $10,000, the maximum amount allowed, to help fund the inauguration of Governor Mike DeWine. And, of course, the actual fire was not caused by the derailment. It was caused by efforts to simply, let all the chemicals out, set them on fire. They'll be gone and the problem will be solved. Actually, they made the problem much, much worse. And so this contribution, which is part of $29,000 Norfolk Southern has contributed to DeWine's political funds since he first ran for governor in 2018, is merely one piece of an extensive ongoing effort to influence statewide officials and Ohio lawmakers. Like any other large profitable corporation, the rail industry has lobbyists and they donate to candidates to try and get laws serving their particular interests here. And in addition to shelling out loads of cash, Norfolk Southern also has extensively lobbied DeWine statewide officials and Ohio politicians here. Now, there was a little bit of confusion a little while ago where somebody came on out saying that CDC had altered the webpage to make vinyl chloride look less toxic before the derailment happened. And they were waving it around saying, this proves the derailment was deliberate. It's an evil plot, which... No, I think this is all, we can chalk this up to accidents, stupidity, and rampant greed. And it turns out that the webpage change did occur almost immediately after the derailment. But the agency edited the toxicity information on vinyl chloride. Apparently, Health and Human Services and the EPA are also there trying to minimize what's going on rather than actually deal with the disaster. Now, years before the derailment, congressional allies of the rail industry intervened to block new safety regulations. And this included, there was legislation, part of an industry push to kill the ECP mandate. Review of lobbying, congressional and court records show about the same time Thune advanced delaying provisions in the omnibus transportation legislation. Thune also introduced another bill to entirely eliminate the mandate for implementation of ECP. And so the braking technology and other safety enhancements are in the light once again. Rail safety advocates have argued that ECP may have helped prevent the derailment of the train in East Palestine. Earlier, a disaster had caused this mass evacuation of residents and the release of pollutants into the surrounding area, which were then set on fire, creating phosgene and dioxin, and that's going to be there for a long, long time. And you know, it's kind of interesting that the same government that told us the air had COVID and you couldn't go outside to exercise and you had to wear masks are telling the people of East Palestine, Ohio, that the air and water is perfectly safe. You know, just like the EPA did around the remains of the World Trade Center, told the first responders, yeah, you can go on in there. The air is harmless. And, of course, those first responders have spent the rest of their life dealing with mesothelioma, various cancers, and yeah, the government lies. It lies all the time. In fact, I don't think the government ever tells the truth out of fear that we might learn to tell the difference, and then they'd really be in trouble. Actually, they really are in trouble, and you can smell the panic here. Now, this story may be just a coincidence, maybe, but this definitely has the conspiracy theory people wondering what's going on. Pardon me. There were five environmentalists heading to East Palestine, Ohio, to provide environmental support in Bedford, Ohio, after a metal plant mysteriously exploded earlier this week. They all died in a plane crash in Little Rock, Arkansas, after taking off from the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. And the all five were employees of this consulting firm, CTEH. And basically, CTEH is an environmental consulting company that empowers extraordinary teams of experts to help companies, governments, and communities prepare for, respond to, and recover to from threats to their environment and the people. So, now, apparently, ProPublica has discovered that Norfolk Southern Railroad had a policy that allowed officials to order their crews to ignore safety alerts, okay? And apparently, Norfolk Southern allows a monitoring team to instruct crews to ignore alerts from the train's track sensors designed to flag potential mechanical problems, okay? And so it is a mess there. And there is a story from Wine Press News that acid rain is now being reported in locations across the U.S. and Canada following that huge chemical plume release from East Palestine, Ohio. The chemistry is that some of the chemicals in that plume, when they meet with water, will form hydrochloric acid, hence acid rain. And that causes a lot of damage. Don't want to leave your car outside in acid rain. It's never going to look the same afterwards here. All righty. Getting into other politics here. Well, actually, over at the White House, Jean-Pierre, our little spokesperson here, proudly announced that the cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female, and a record 7 assistants to the president are LGBTQ+. Well, if that's all you've got to brag about, you are definitely in trouble. And, you know, Biden's out there saying, oh, equity, 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 you know, to heck with the infrastructure and the economy and the border and all the rest of it. But at least we're pushing the equity agenda here no matter what. And I think Pete Buttigieg is a good example of why hiring on the basis of equity was not a good idea versus hiring on the basis of merit. Actually knowing how to do the job, because as we pointed out before, this East Palestine train derailment is not the first disaster to happen under Pete Buttigieg's taking position as the Secretary of Transportation. We had that huge jam up at the shipping ports. Cargo ships were just having to sit for weeks to unload, caused all kinds of problems with the supply chain. Then we had that antique computer system went down, resulting in the grounding of all aviation traffic in the country for the first time since 9/11. Now we have the train derailment here. Now, Democratic lawmakers are just going absolutely hysterical after Kevin McCarthy provided 41,000 hours of January 6th footage to Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who I presume is going to start releasing some of that in the very, very near future. Now, up until this point, the public was only fed snippets of the footage by Congress, which the January 6th committee curated. In other words, they picked out only those video clips that supported the narrative they were trying to sell, that this was all Donald Trump, an attempted insurrection against the country. And, you know, the full footage is totally undermining their story. Now, Tucker Carlson was talking to Axios and saying there was never any legitimate reason for this footage to be kept secret. If there was ever a question that it's in the public interest to know what actually happened on January 6th, this is it, okay? And the videos are going to reveal it. And the Democrats are out there saying the transparency won't be beneficial. An MSNBC article by Steve Bannon, producer for the Rachel Maddow Show, is saying that McCarthy has committed a colossal misstep. Well, from the point of view of the Democrats and those who perpetrated this historic fraud on the American people, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a problem. Now, there are investigations coming out of the new Republican majority House of Representatives, one of them focusing on Hunter Biden's business dealings, and apparently he has missed a deadline to turn over some of his business documents, which will probably result in a subpoena. Meanwhile, his top financial lieutenant, Eric Schwerin, is expected to provide documents to the House Oversight Committee's investigation of the Biden family for 9 violations, including money laundering and wire fraud. Okay, so Eric is flipping on the Bidens in front of the House Oversight Probe. Now, Schwerin, who shared bank accounts with Joe Biden and dubbed the family's money man, also maintained guest lists for the White House functions and negotiated the settlement with Hunter's first wife, Kathleen. Emails from Hunter Biden's laptop show Schwerin was deeply embedded in Hunter's personal life and the Biden family networks for nearly 2 decades. He's even been caught in pictures at campaign events with Joe Biden. And, I think we can expect him to get really, really depressed and commit suicide in Fort Marcy Park with a rope around his neck and a shotgun blast through the middle of his body here. All right, now today it is a beautiful day here in Santa Claus, Indiana. Light scattered clouds. It's t-shirt weather. We don't have to wear the heavy coats. And we did get the south edge of winter storm Olive. We had a lot of rain come through last night, which we need. It's farming country. But north of us, it is a real mess up there. More than 1,600 flights have been canceled amid this winter storm. A blizzard warning was issued for Los Angeles for the first time in 30 years. Gosh darn that human-caused global warming. Okay. Now, down in Georgia, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger scored a victory over the Biden Justice Department when a federal judge ruled Tuesday that the law enforcement agency has to turn over secret communications with liberal interest groups that were targeting Georgia's new election reform law. Now, in 2021, the Georgia legislature passed and Governor Brian Kemp signed into law Senate Bill 202, the Election Integrity Act, which expanded voter ID requirements to absentee ballots, established guidelines for ballot drop boxes, required that wait time at polling places be no longer than 1 hour per person, and gave the state election board more oversight over election administration in the counties. And, of course, the liberals are just having a cow over this. They're screaming, this is Jim Crow 2.0, and, you know, they're going to disenfranchise the voters. Well, they're going to disenfranchise the dead ones, certainly, and the ones voting multiple times, and those who are not legally allowed to vote at all. And so, Georgia's trying to clear it up, and the judge is now saying that the Department of Justice has to turn over all communications they had with these liberal groups who were trying to undermine and overturn this law so they can go back to cheating willy-nilly on future elections. Okay. Now, one of the January 6th defendants, William Pope of Topeka, has asked U.S. District Judge Rudolph Contreras to unseal a video allegedly showing an undercover Metropolitan Police Department officer shouting, "Drain the swamp and our house," and actually encouraging protesters to climb barricades and enter the U.S. Capitol. And this was a video shot by two other undercover Metropolitan Police Department officers who trailed Ashley Babbitt up the northwest exterior of the Capitol. One of those officers repeatedly predicted that somebody would get shot on January 6th. And he's saying, while my descriptions of the undercover MPD officers are accurate, the media and the public should not have to rely on my descriptions. They should be allowed to see the video. We'll see how the court is going to rule on that one. But it may be moot because that video is going to be among the 41,000 hours of videos that McCarthy has now released to the January 6th defendants and to Tucker Carlson. So one more time, we're going to see the government was just lying and lying and lying. Now, let's get on back to this story about Mark Middleton. He was found dead last May at the Heifer Ranch in Perryville, Arkansas, just an hour west of Little Rock. And Mark Middleton was a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein, good friend of Bill Clinton, apparently facilitated Jeffrey Epstein's visiting the White House on numerous occasions. He was found shot and tied to a tree with an electrical cord. And, there was no sign of the gun, according to the early reports. Well, now the government is out there saying, yes, of course, there was a gun. We were just being silly when we said there wasn't a gun. Yeah, there was a gun, really. We can't show you any photographs here, but just take our words for it. There really was a gun. There was. And if you disagree with us, then we're going to do bad things to you here. All right. Now, down in Missouri, Attorney General Andrew Bailey gave radical Soros-funded circuit court attorney Kim Gardner until noon today to resign. And Kim Gardner may be the most radical Soros-funded circuit attorney in the nation today. And in August of 2018, Kim Gardner announced her attorneys would no longer accept cases from 28 different St. Louis City police departments. She called it her exclusion list and said, they're all being racist. We're going to ignore all criminal referrals coming from them. Now, the last word is that Gardner did refuse to resign, and Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has fired her. So we'll see what's going to go on about that and how Soros is going to react. By the way, Soros did a public speech today, and it looks like he is in second place behind Joe Biden for mental decline. Now, he did not look all that sharp, and he was having trouble there. So he may not be with us all that much longer. What am I saying? Only the good die young. Okay. All right. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And welcome back to our show. Now, this last weekend, we had this Rage Against the War Machine rally. Actually, it was Monday evening. Oh, no, the rally was over the weekend. And it's being distorted and misreported in the media. And on Monday evening, Rachel Maddow over at MSNBC basically came on out trying to, recast this anti-war protest as a rally in support of Russia. And it was full of white supremacists. And, of course, the speakers at the rally were Jimmy Dore, Roger Waters, and former House Representative Tulsi Gabbard and Ron Paul. And MSNBC categorized attendees as pro-Russia demonstrators. And, they could not be more dishonest. But then again, that's what they're paid to do, is lie to you to get you to think the way the government wants you to think. Okay, everyone always talks about government mind control, and there's images of strange rays and, drugs and whatnot. No, mind control is really very simple. You control the mind by controlling what it knows. And if the media is feeding you only certain select information, they can lead you to come to the conclusion of your own free will that the government wants you to conclude. By simply hiding exculpatory or contradictory information. Now, MSNBC is not well-liked, and their parent group, NBC, Basically, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis slapped him down, saying that NBC and MSNBC will be ignored by him until he receives an apology for being falsely accused of racism. So NBC and MSNBC reporters show up. He's not going to call on them. He's not going to take their questions until they apologize to him. And DeSantis press secretary Brian Griffin said NBC and its affiliates also need to display a consistent track record of truthful reporting. And meanwhile, a new skating rink has been opened up in hell. So, by the way, Ron DeSantis, you can always call my show. I'm not going to call you a racist. I promise absolutely here. Media, the traditional legacy media, is in trouble. People are not paying attention. CNN had a story out, I think it was about a week ago, just wringing their hands over the fact that people just don't believe them anymore and don't trust them anymore and they don't understand what's going on. Well, we don't like being lied to. We don't like being made fools of over and over and over again. Now, another voice of the establishment, NPR, is now having to cut roughly 10% of its workforce, one of the largest layoffs in NPR's 53-year history. And they're supported by public donations supposedly, but those donations have been falling off for the same reason people are turning off MSNBC and CNN. They just don't like being lied to anymore. Now, here's a good one. Apparently, the board of directors of Project Veritas have sent out emails to Project Veritas donors just begging them to stay, and even though James O'Keefe is not there. And, they're saying, let's see, the email says, "We hope that you might continue to give us a chance. We can't stress how separate the board's role is from daily operations here at Project Veritas." Blah, 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 blah. I actually got one of these emails. It's kind of weird. And it says, "We understand and share your frustrations." No, you do not. Without James O'Keefe, there is functionally no Project Veritas. And apparently a lot of people agree with that. Project Veritas lost like 100,000 followers on social media in the 24 hours after James O'Keefe announced that he was leaving. And he's planning on setting another operation up. And I would love to be part of that here. Okay, now there's been a lot of talk about how ChatGPT and some of the other AIs coming online consistently seem to display a leftist bent. They won't make jokes about Biden, but they'll make jokes about Trump. I played around with ChatGPT myself, and the liberal bias is definitely there. And it turns out that there is a globalist-funded effort to control artificial intelligence. It's called the Machine Learning Fairness. But what it is, it's basically an effort to make sure that all of these AIs coming online toe the liberal agenda. So, reminds me of HAL 9000 in 2001. "I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that." All right, let's talk about COVID now. Not too surprisingly, it turns out that Pfizer's clinical trial had more deaths after vaccination than in the placebo group. And did the FDA notice? No, they just let Pfizer explain away the excess deaths in the vaccinated population and moved along with granting the emergency use authorization. Isn't that wonderful how our government takes care of us ordinary citizens? We've got to take quick commercials. We'll be.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about COVID and our related subjects. And over at the FDA, Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf is concerned that public trust in the medical establishment and in the government agencies regulating the medical establishment is dropping rapidly. And he thinks he knows what the problem is, and it's misinformation. And so now the FDA is saying they're going to join the squad of people policing online content to make sure that you only get the U.S. government-approved view of the vaccines and so forth and so on here. Now, public trust is waning in the medical establishment because of all the goofs and, adverse effects from vaccines, adverse effects even from other drugs. Prescription drugs and so forth. I mean, you really should make a point of reading the package insert for anything you're being prescribed. And if it's not available at your pharmacist, you can go on the FDA's own website, because every package insert is archived there and you can look it up. I've done a lot of research on the medications that I was prescribed. And frankly, I came away rather severely rattled. It seems like the drugs were causing more problems than they were fixing. So, I'm very fond of my doctor. and I'm convinced she's a good person. But the industry that she works for is that. It's an industry. It's out to make money, and I have lost complete trust in what they're doing. They don't want us to be healthy. They can't make money off of us if we're healthy. You know, it's kind of like a spectrum. You know, there's perfectly healthy people, and there's dead people. And you can't make money off of those. You need to concentrate on that middle section of people who have chronic illnesses requiring constant treatments and so forth and so on. All right. Now, the Wall Street Journal took vaccine makers and federal agencies to task for pushing the bivalent COVID-19 boosters without having any data to show that they were either safe or effective. You know, here's our new product. We're going to sell it to you. You're going to just jam it into your arm. And, you know, is it safe? We don't know. Is it effective? We have no idea. You know, we're just here to sell you product. You know, that's it, you know, commerce and so forth and so on. Now, there's another story that has come on out from Global Research. Apparently, birth rates are plunging in the heavily vaccinated countries. I know that all those who think that this COVID vaccine is a population control measure are going to be standing up and saying, see, I told you so. And this article points out that there are some problems with finding out what's going on, because even today in the United States, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, and Washington are four of the states that have not updated births data since 2019. Something is happening they don't want you to know about. And meanwhile, there are 19 European countries for which birth records are available, and it is showing that births are declining, you know, in the vaccinated populations. So, anyway, case study here. A gentleman named Sergeant Major Jason Brumhober. He's a decorated Army infantry leader. He's got numerous awards, including a Bronze Star, the Meritorious Service Medal, numerous Army Commendation Medals. He sustained major debilitating injuries following the mandated COVID shot that have basically ended his career. Now, before the COVID shot, he had an elite level of physical and mental fitness. He was in perfect condition, been devastated by the shots, and he's now undergoing a medical elimination board for those injuries after an exemplary record that included three combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he survived all the bullets and, you know, artillery and everything else, and got taken down by a needle here. And not too surprisingly, according to an article in Global Research again, the COVID jab has gotten permanent liability protection. Can't say that we were going to be surprised. Now, this began back on October 20th, 2022, when the CDC basically unanimously voted to add unlicensed COVID-19 shots to the U.S. childhood, adolescent, and adult vaccine schedules. Okay, in February of this year, in fact, just earlier this month, the CDC accepted the panel's recommendation and officially added a primary series of mRNA COVID vaccine to its routine immunization schedules. Okay, and that includes them being placed under in the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Now, the other vaccines on that vaccination schedule are covered by the NVICP. The COVID shot isn't. Instead, the COVID shots will remain covered by the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which is even more restrictive and limited in terms of compensation to the victims of the injury. So we don't care if you know, people are being killed or injured by these shots, but we must protect the money. Big money in pharmaceuticals, we must protect and serve the money. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that there's this hue and cry across the land among Democrats to hold gun manufacturers liable for the harm their weapons are causing here, but they absolutely do not want to hold the pharmaceutical manufacturers liable for the injuries and deaths that their products are causing. Kind of a little bit of a double standard there, if you ask me. Okay, now Senator Ron Johnson is expressing dismay over how the FAA responded to his questions about the handling of pilot health issues. And Johnson said, how can the FAA maintain safe skies when it turns a blind eye towards pilots experiencing COVID-19 vaccine injuries? Now, there's a further complication to this because FAA rules and regulations say that pilots are not allowed, okay, to take an experimental medication for at least 1 year after it enters the market, and you can evaluate it for how much harm it's causing. But we had all these airlines saying there to their pilots, you must get vaccinated, you must get vaccinated. It's a violation of the FAA rule, and nobody said boo about it, although I understand a group of pilots are getting together, and they're planning a lawsuit on that particular area. But it is rather amazing during this whole COVID situation where existing safety protocols, rules were just being discarded in this rush to get everybody shot with all of these mRNA shots. And it's causing all kinds of harm. Now, out in California, a little bit of a victory. The COVID vaccine mandate for K through 12 students is being withdrawn, even though it never actually went into an effect. And this is a victory for all the parents who said, no, we don't want you to put this stuff in our kids because we don't know what it's going to do there. And Newsom, of course, wanted to force the mandate on schools last year, but he delayed it after a similar bill at the state capitol was killed. And so basically what they're saying now is the official state of emergency for COVID will end on the 28th of this month, and that would render all of these emergency COVID orders null and void. And so they're pushing back on that. But still, a lot of harm has been caused. A lot of people have died that didn't need to die. And all those celebrities who got up there on TV and said, get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. The blood of these people who died from these shots is on their hands. I'm sure they don't care. They got their money. They got paid for the little gig, and they're just going on about it. They're about as concerned about, you know, the harm, what they're doing. It's about as callous as, you know, Alec Baldwin and the cinematographer situation. By the way, he's pled not guilty to manslaughter on that one. Okay, now a little bit of good news. A group of Republican senators are starting to push back against Joe Biden's attempt to sign this treaty with the World Health Organization, giving the World Health Organization authority over all U.S. pandemic response. And they're basically going back and saying you cannot have a treaty without ratification by the Congress. That is what is in the Constitution. Okay. And this draft accord that they've come up with, it would be legally binding on all 194 member nations, gives the World Health Organization the authority to declare pandemics and submits member countries to the central role, the one world government of the World Health Organization, as the directing and coordinating authority on international health work, including things like lockdowns, treatments, medical supply chains, surveillance, and disinformation and false news. And let's see, 17 U.S. senators led by Ron Johnson introduced the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act, that states the pandemic accord must be deemed a treaty under U.S. law, thereby requiring the consent of a supermajority of the Senate. That's two-thirds or 67 of the senators. And other sponsors of the bill included Chuck Grassley, Bill Hagerty, John Barrasso, Mike Lee, Marsha Blackburn, Rick Scott, John Hoeven, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Steve Daines, Tom Tillis, Tom Cotton, Mike Brown, Tommy Tuberville, Roger Marshall, and Katie Britt. So they're absolutely right. Biden cannot sign this accord and claim it has a force of law under the Constitution without that ratification by the Senate. If a president signs a treaty and the Senate doesn't ratify, the treaty is null and void. So once again, Biden's out there trying to bend the rules and get around the system to try and force this down our throats. And of course, this global pandemic, global health emergency requiring a global health authority is one of the pillars on which they're building the premise for a global government. The others are a global economic downturn requiring a global currency and a global bank. And then ultimately, you know, coming out of World War III, we're going to have a new form of the United Nations that will actually have legal authority over the member countries, which would be kind of a joke considering that the current United Nations can't even rein in Israel here. Now, earlier in the week, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I am really starting to like, and I think she would make a good vice president behind Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene ripped into Joe Biden for going to visit Ukraine, a state that would lead the United States into a world war. And she actually called for impeachment proceedings against Biden before it's too late. And I, for one, would love to see President Biden called on the carpet. But unfortunately, it's not just Joe Biden who is pushing for this war. There is a large body of war hawks, defense contractors, and so forth. They all see their own futures blossoming, you know, wonderfully if there's a new world war. Because war, ultimately, if you think about it, is a way of making a select group of people very, very wealthy while making the rest of the population very, very poor. So anyway, meanwhile, during his recent visit to Ukraine, Joe Biden was in front of the press cameras with Zelensky. They ran the air raid sirens to increase the drama, although nobody was acting like there was an air raid on. And declared America's ongoing support for the country's war efforts, announced a $2.5 billion weapons package. This is the 30th time this year. And basically made the statement that Ukraine flags are flying across America. Well, I don't know about you, but around here, I see nothing but American flags and lots of them. So I think Biden was kind of kidding Zelensky about that. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is saying that the United States will provide additional economic assistance of $10 billion to Ukraine in the coming days. Ooh, look at all that money going out of your pocket and over there to Zelensky and the war machine. And, you know, a lot of people are looking at all these breakdowns and derailments and explosions at factories and saying, oh, what's going on here? It could be just as simple as the fact that so much money is being taken out of our system that companies, including railroads, factories and whatever, they're having to cut corners. And where they cut corners are on safety issues. Plus, a lot of our infrastructure, a lot of our factories, they're old. They have not been kept up. They're running on old machinery that's at the end of its lifetime, and things are going to break and problems are going to result. And that really is common sense. Meanwhile, Russian missiles have hammered Ukraine's second largest city, and Kharkiv's industrial infrastructure was bombed. Meanwhile, Elon Musk is out there accusing a top official of pushing for war in Ukraine, and he's saying that this is U.S. State Department official Victoria Nuland, and we have in many years past seen Victoria Nuland involved in all kinds of coup d'etat and overthrows. She was involved in the Western-backed coup in Kiev in 2014 that drove the democratically elected government of Yanukovych from power and installed the dictator Poroshenko to then be followed by the comedian-turned-president Zelensky. Okay. And Nuland last Thursday declared that Russian military bases in Crimea are legitimate targets for Ukrainian forces. And the Kremlin said, well, that's proof of U.S. involvement in the Ukraine conflict, as if hundreds of billions of dollars, your dollars, by the way, you know, wasn't involvement enough here. All right. On Tuesday, the UN Security Council held a meeting on the Nord Stream sabotage, and Russia basically called for the meeting after the report from Seymour Hersh that said Joe Biden ordered the attacks, was assisted by Norway, and basically Russia is asking for an independent investigation. because the only investigation was done by U.S. allies. Russia was not allowed to take part, even though they own half of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline and all of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And that's another little wrinkle in this whole case here, because Germany owned the other half of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. So Joe Biden's attack on that pipeline was not just an attack on Russia. It was an attack on our supposed ally and good friend Germany, who has remained remarkably silent about this insult. Even as their economy struggles under the much higher energy costs they are now having to pay. All right, we got to take another break here for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the UN Security Council meeting regarding the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline. And Russia is basically pointing the finger at four separate countries, the USA, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden, who all claim to be part of the official investigation that said, well, we're pretty sure that Russia did it. And Russia is saying, well, it's very obvious that these countries were all working to cover up and whitewash the story and protect the United States. And the Russian diplomat said, you know, since we're talking about an offense committed with an explosive device, this makes it subject to the International Convention for the Prevention of Terrorist Bombing of December 15th, 1997. And it says, you know, all the countries, all the member nations of the UN are obligated to, you know, find out the truth about what really happened here. Now, here in this country, the corporate media has been ignoring Seymour Hersh's story. It's a complete embargo. We're going to silence it. It didn't happen. You know, it's ridiculous. And over at the Washington Post, they broke ranks. And they actually did a story on Hersh's article. They mentioned its findings. They even included a link to his original article. And I'm pretty sure that the Washington Post did that because they realize everybody already knows about the Hersh article because we're all getting our news from the, you know, independent media these days. And the Washington Post didn't want to be seen as continuing to cover it up because they're trying to walk a fine line between, you know, serving their masters in the U.S. government and, you know, not losing any more audience and advertisers. It's an impossible task. Okay, you're either serving the public interest, like you did back on the Pentagon Papers, or you're serving the government. You cannot serve both. Okay, no man can serve two masters applies here. All right, the Russian Defense Ministry is saying that Kiev is preparing an armed provocation against Transnistria, and they're going to false flag it to make it look like Russian troops are invading. They're going to put their people in Russian military uniforms and do a false flag to say, oh, look what those Russians have done. Meanwhile, there's all kinds of military activity down in in Moldova and that area, leading to speculation that NATO may try and open up a second front against Russia in that part of the world. And so this is getting really, really serious. Now, there's another article here, and the propaganda is coming thick and fast. This is over in the Daily Mail. The Biden administration may release intelligence that reveals China is considering giving Putin weapons for the war in Ukraine. And this is ahead of the Secretary of State's address to the UN Security Council, which happened earlier in the week here. Again, you know, think back to Iraq when Colin Powell sat there with that little tiny vial of talcum powder and said, this is Iraq's anthrax, you know, we've got it, and he's got nuclear weapons and a Death Star, and we've got to go. It's just more of the same thing. We've got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
I'm so glad I found you. Stay strong.
Truth tellers.
Truth tellers. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.